Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, today we're going to continue our discussion from last week on midlife career change. And let's begin with you, or perhaps with a family member, loved one, or close friend. Does this sound all too familiar? You have a serious problem with your current job or lack thereof. You're stuck in a boring dead-end position with no reason to believe that things will get better anytime soon. You dread Monday mornings. Maybe you're on a fast track with good prospects for a promotion, but the cost is just too great. Hours are long, the workday highly stressful, and your health, family, and enjoyment of life are suffering. You're missing out on your kids growing up. Or how about this? You recently lost your job, so your only choice is whether to look for work in your present field of expertise and your industry, or to consider a radical career shift. Or maybe you're seeking to enter the workforce after a long hiatus, most commonly to raise young children, and after all those years you're uncertain about your best career fit. And naturally, your brain has been trying to fix the problem. What else can I do? What would be better for me and for those I love? And how do I get my career and perhaps my finances back on track? And you've researched, pondered, talked, and dreamt about a career change, perhaps for months, even years, only there hasn't been a change. Time has passed and you're still stuck. My friend, you're at what we call a career crossroads, but don't give up. All is not lost. How about some good news? First of all, you're not alone. A career crossroads is very common at middle age. It happens to so many of us. During my 30-year business career, I was in the same depressing, downright scary career dilemma three or four times. And if you're truly serious about exploring your options, you may be on the threshold of something great, a real career breakthrough, work that pays you to have a good time and doesn't leave you mentally drained at day's end. And here's some even better news. My first guest today, Allison Carty, has been working with career change clients like you through hundreds of one-on-one client conversations, workshops, and other means. And chances are she's dealt with a situation very similar to yours. And Allison Carty is founder and CEO of Carty Career Coaching, an international coaching team that guides clients all around the world through the process of career change. And their stated mission is to support folks like you and me to improve our careers and our lives. And Allison is author of the new book, Career Grease, How to Get Unstuck and Pilot Your Career. And she also offers a free step-by-step career change e-course that you can obtain through her website, CartyCareerCoaching.com. And I've explored Allison's website, and let me tell you, it's one of the most helpful sites you'll find out there in cyberspace. And I highly recommend it, that you visit it, if only you're beginning to think about possible career options. But hello, Allison Carty. It's an extreme honor to have you on my program today.
Thank you so much, Roy. That was a tremendous intro. Thank you for how thorough you were in describing the situation that people are facing and also in shouting out some of the work that I've been up to.
Well, let's begin with the basics. What are some of the primary factors that drive people to make career changes midstream? What are some of the reasons that a person might want to change?
Yeah, this is a great question. So I think oftentimes we're familiar with our own career situation. Maybe we're bored, maybe we're burning out, maybe something's not working in terms of finding a job in that particular career. And so we see kind of the career change process through our own lens. And I did this too. When I first started as a career coach, I made a switch from working in accounting to working in a helping profession. And I was really interested in finding some more fulfillment. And I assumed when
you
I got
to get
into
rid of your green shades.
Toss them out, yes. Yeah, and I assumed that, you know, everybody was going to be looking for more fulfillment. But very quickly, I learned that there are a number of reasons why people make a career shift or change.
Yeah.
But if you look at kind of the big picture umbrella of what's going on, it's always because of three factors.
Okay.
The three factors. The three factors are the level of fulfillment that a job is providing you with, the level of financial health that your job is giving you in terms of compensation, and then how your work is affecting your personal well-being and personal time. So those are the three areas that career choices really hit hard. You know, whatever choice you make is going to there's going to be an effect in those three areas.
Yeah,
so
there's so much trade-off in that. You're very unlikely to find one job that has the ultimate perfection in all three of those areas, I wouldn't think.
You are onto something. So what drives career change is really when what you're most wanting in those three areas is out of alignment with what you're getting. And what that means is, and you're kind of alluding to this, there's a career seesaw out in the marketplace. On one side of the seesaw is financial compensation. We compensate for jobs that require more education, more stress, more risk, more long hours. You know, those jobs we pay a higher value for. Just think of ER nurses who work the night shift. Nobody wants to work the night shift, but we pay time and a half. We compensate for that factor financially. So that's one side of the seesaw is financial compensation. And the other side contains the fulfillment and personal time and well-being elements. And in general, not perfectly, in generally, these two things, two sides of the seesaw, move in opposition to one another. So what that means is on a personal level, we need to really get clear on our personal priority. And there's not a right answer for everybody. You know, it's going to depend on your history, your values, your experience, you know, what else is going on in your life. But you really need to pick what's in the lead for me. Do I really care about the financial health most of all? Do I have kids in college that I want to pay for? Do I really care about this is my second act and I want it to be a lot more fulfilling than what I was doing before? And recognize by picking that lead element, there's likely going to be some trade-offs involved in it.
Yeah. I like also the way you talk about the highly structured position where it's pretty certain, you know, you have to have this education, you have to have these qualifications, and it's pretty set on what your compensation is going to be so long as you can find somebody to employ you for that expertise versus the more uncertain freelance type, maybe an entrepreneurial opportunity or something where your immediate, at least in the short term, your income is not guaranteed, but you have that opportunity to seek something that really fits your fancy and somewhat design what you want to be doing, but there is that trade-off, I guess.
Definitely, yeah. I think you're referring to a blog post that we wrote recently titled, How Can I Get Paid to Do Something That I Love? And you know, I think this is a question that a lot of people have, and I made a point in that post that I doubt anybody with a love of medicine has ever asked that question because there's such a clear path. You know, there is a structural education, residency into the working world that's already set up, and all you need to do is follow the steps.
Yeah.
In contrast,
they're not easy steps. You better love it because you've got a long road ahead before you're you know, Dr. So-and-so with your own office.
Definitely. So what just inherently in that question, how can I get paid to do something I love? To my mind, that means that you're not falling into those more preset career paths like doctor, lawyer, teacher, programmer, accountant, yeah. where there's really a trajectory that's already set out that you have to follow.
Yeah.
So immediately that brings to mind, there's going to need to be more of a self-created path. And that could be yeah. in the entrepreneurial realm that you're discussing.
Yeah.
It could be within a traditional workforce, like, say, becoming a marketing director. There's not yeah. one path, one set path that you take. You really have to find your way to it with a path that works for you.
Yeah.
And to your point, Roy, there is a trade-off when you're not going down such a set path, when you are really tapping into what do I most love, what am I passionate about, what do I want to do. In all likelihood, you might fall into more of a creative or a service industry type professional.
Yeah.
And there is a trade-off in that because it's inherently enjoyable to you. It's going to take a much higher commitment level, dedication, and persistence to really stand out in those fields. We don't necessarily pay as well for people who are just starting out or getting into them. We really pay for people who go above and beyond in those areas.
That's a good point. Well, let's say when we middle-aged folks lose our jobs or decide beyond doubt that we just can't stand our present job and we want to change for sure, our natural instinct is to polish up our resume, check job listings online or in the paper, network if we know how to do that, and launch a job search. But instead, you advise us to focus on a crucial step before we launch our search. And what is that crucial step that we should do first?
I'm so glad that you asked this question because people get really tripped up here. They want to make a change, and I think, well, I should jump right to job searching.
Yeah.
But no, there is a step before doing a job search, and that's doing a career exploration, or put another way, figuring out what it is you actually want to do. So,
yeah, that way we don't bounce from one bad job into another like so many of
right.
us do.
Right, and it does take a little upfront time. But when you take the time to get a better sense of your direction, one, it makes the job search easier because you're clearer and you can tell your network, this is really what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But two, it gives you a chance to check yourself in a low-risk, low-commitment way. So if you're exploring the idea of becoming a journalist or you're exploring
yeah.
becoming a graphic designer, you can learn more about that field. You can get a taste for it and check yourself. Is this really what I want? Before investing a whole lot of time in further education or a job search, wind up there and realize, oh, this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be. So it really is kind of one of those things where you put a little bit of time in, but it winds up saving you time and actually helping your job search to be a smoother process when you do clarify that direction up front. And it's so easy to miss because people want to be productive. They jump straight to, you know, job listings, and then they kind of get lost in there if they're not really clear on what they're wanting.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, a lot of us year in and year out talk about changing our career, but we never get around to it. And eventually we retire from a job we don't really admire. And from your experience as a career coach, what are some of the most common career change roadblocks, and how do we overcome those roadblocks?
Definitely. So I think it kind of depends. Some is people just don't really understand how to go about figuring out what they want.
Yeah.
And then some other reasons why people have trouble with it are they really try to figure out what they want solely in their head. So
yeah.
they think about it
yeah.
a lot. They might do research. You know, they do a lot of things where they are sitting in their home behind a computer. But in actuality, you're laughing because it's very true. A lot of people do it. But
yeah,
in
I like
actuality,
the section in your book where you say your calling is inside of you. Well, sort of.
Yeah, well, sort of. You actually have to learn your way into a new career, and that means actually physically moving, getting out into the world, talking to people, trying things out, giving yourself new experiences. When we're talking about making a change, we're talking about going somewhere that you haven't been before, in all likelihood, something that's a bit unfamiliar. So if you take your brain with its current knowledge and try to have it solve the problem of something totally new that it doesn't have experience with, it's naturally going to get stuck. But if you give your brain new information, new data points, more chances to kind of check yourself, is this what I want or not? Am I on the right path or not? Then you're going to get moving.
And am I really qualified, or my talents really qualified to perform the functions I would need to succeed in it? But because it's great. Like, I could decide at age 55 or whatever that I want to be a physician, but it's not likely that I could at that age go through all the steps to become one. So, and nor would anyone hire me, obviously, to be one.
Yeah, kind of to your point, that's another thing that I think trips people up, is that they're afraid or not wanting to talk to people about their ideas. Yeah. So, you know, if you talk to a couple of doctors at age 55 and said, what would this road look like? And they kind of expand it to you, and you look at it and you're like, oh, I'm not sure that's what I want. But that step of asking for help, I think people kind of, they fumble. They try to do it all by themselves, and nobody makes it alone. It's really important to lean on supportive people. Obviously, you don't want to lean on negative people or people with a strong agenda, but lean on supportive people in your network, lean on coaching resources, people who can really help you to vet ideas, clarify them in your head. That's another big mistake people make, is they try to do it all by themselves.
Yeah. Well, I speak from personal experience. One of the hardest steps in the career change process is transitioning from analysis to action. And you have a chapter on this in your book. Any suggestions on how to overcome paralysis of analysis and actually plunge into action so you can get started on, you know, making that change?
Indeed, I do. It's pretty simple. You need to identify one small step that's right in front of you. You may not know exactly where it leads or what's going to happen by taking it. One small real-world step that gets your butt out of the computer chair and into the world, and you need to take it. So it is going to feel a little bit scary. You might not know what's going to happen from it. It might wind up being a dead end. But the antidote to feeling stuck is movement. So really just finding that one step, you know, as a listener, someone listening, you know what it is. There's something that's been floating around in your head. Maybe I should go to this group, or maybe I should talk to so-and-so. My encouragement.
And if it is a dead end, it's better to know it right now rather than spend another 6 months dreaming
about it. Exactly. And my encouragement is to take that next step that you see. I tell a little story in the book that actually a client told me. He said when he was a young kid, he was at his grandmother's house, and she turned off all the lights in the house. She set him at the front door with a flashlight and said, walk from the front door to the back door of the house. And of course, he took the flashlight, he looked around, he avoided bumping into things, and he made it to the back door. Oh. And she said, how did you do that? And he said, well, I just took the step that I could see, and then I could see a little bit farther. And it's a perfect metaphor for career change. You may not know where you're going when you start out. You may not see the final destination. But if you do keep taking that next step and that next step, you're going to see farther, you're going to get closer, and that's really what we want.
And take that first step with somewhat of an open mind. You may have a general idea in mind of where you're headed, but you have to always be willing to adjust your course as you come upon roadblocks, or you come upon reality that didn't fit that preconceived notion of what you're looking for. So On one of your blogs, I liked you to talk about, obviously it's not the real name, a guy that you call Kent, who was having no luck with his job search and was trying to figure out whether to stay in his field or to make a pivot. In the end, what questions should you ask yourself and the answer to make this decision of whether, to look within your field or try something totally different?
Yes. This is a great one because I think it's common when you're not having success with a job search to kind of think, well, maybe I could do better somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that could be true. There are a couple questions that I'd love for people to consider. The first is, in all likelihood, there's some reason why you're job searching. You know, something's not working in your current job. So yeah. I just want folks to check, is it an environmental factor, or is it more like the actual role? So an environmental factor would be something like, my boss is a micromanager and I can't get anything done. My commute is 2 hours and I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
A role factor, like the position itself, would be the day-to-day work is playing to my weaknesses, or I'm just done with it, I'm looking for a new challenge. So those are really different. If it's just an environmental factor, then a career change probably isn't the thing that you need. It's just finding that better environment.
Yeah, I like that question. You said, did I enjoy my current position until new management came in, maybe a new boss took away my responsibilities, or maybe it's like you say, a micromanaging boss or something that you just don't get along with, but that might not be a career change that you need in that case, just a different company or an employer, or maybe a different boss.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can also kind of check yourself by thinking into the future. If I did land a new job in this same industry, how enthusiastic would I be? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, would I be in the pits at a 1, or would I be, in the middle or pretty high?
Yeah.
That's a good indicator, again, that it's probably more an environmental factor.
Yeah.
And then the third question would just be, have you actually exhausted all of your job search options?
I think not just look on online listings and,
right,
and read newspapers anymore. Not just do that, but without going to a network or without, all the other methods you can use to locate opportunities out there. And
right. So, and in most cases, I find if I ask this question, have you really done everything you can do for the job search? The answer is no. There is more that they can do. It might not be fun. It might take a bit of work. But if there's still some opportunities that you haven't looked at, some stones you haven't picked up and turned over, and assuming the other factors are, the industry itself is pretty good for me, I just don't like this company, then I'd say it's probably good to hold the course with the job search. Obviously, if things are flipped, if you feel like you totally have hit a dead end and you really have been working on it for a long time, if it is more the role, not the environment, then those are signals that a career change could be in order.
Well, let's talk a bit about your new book, Career Grease, How to Get Unstuck and Pivot Your Career. How is your book different from all the other career search books that are out there?
Yeah, so my team and I really focus on why people get stuck at these career crossroads moments. When somebody knows, I don't like what I'm doing, or I know what I don't like, but I don't know what I do like, and they just kind of hang out there where, they're not making progress and they're not figuring out what they do like. So
then they start counting years to retirement, at which point they're probably frustrated in retirement. They don't know what they're really seeking then either.
Yeah, so my book is different in that it really goes into more of the coaching elements of reasons why people get stuck. There are case studies to illustrate, what happens, and exercises and coaching notes to help people through those sticking points. In my experience, a lot of career books focus on very heavily on introspection, just kind of trying to find that answer internally, or they help people identify some aspects of who they are and what they want, but they don't help them translate those into the workforce, or books just focus on job searching. And we're really kind of that underneath element of how do you transition what you know about yourself into jobs, how do you do that effectively, and how do you move through those sticking points that naturally come up because, you know, hopefully nobody's going through a career change every day. So it is an unusual life circumstance that we're not really naturally equipped to deal with because we don't do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, on your website, CardiCareerCoaching.com, you offer three different coaching programs as well. Tell us a bit about the three programs you offer. I know they are a combination of one-on-one coaching and workshops and a number of other things, but just give us a brief summary of those three programs you offer because they're fascinating.
Oh, thank you so much. I would be happy to. So, as I've mentioned, we help people get career clarity and momentum so they're no longer stuck. They have a direction that they can then begin moving towards. And over the years, I found that there were different types of clients. So one type of client is at that crossroads place. They don't really know what they want, but they feel like once they've figured it out, they can move towards it with relative ease. Like they're doing okay. They just kind of need a sounding board, some focus time to get things figured out. So that's our Just Get Me Pointed in the Right Direction program. And it's really meant for people who want to take some time out of their lives to think about this, to work within a program, have a guide, and get that direction clarified.
And that's a 1 month program, right? Approximately.
Exactly. It's a 1 month program. And I always think of that program as kind of like taking an out of focus telescope and putting it into focus. We're very effective at clarifying that direction and getting people moving.
Or getting a new prescription at your optometrist.
Right. Here's how to look at this. Yes. And then our next type of client is somebody who's coming into the process with some type of kind of confounding factor that's making it harder than normal for them to get things sorted out. So it's sort of like if you wanted to train for a 5K and you were coming into it with a sprained ankle, we would need to, you know, rehabilitate that ankle before you could train for the 5K. So, that next program is really for people who they're having more difficulty, they're having trouble following through, there's some reason that's really keeping them stuck that they might not be aware of, but they know that there's a number of obstacles that are kind of cropping up for them, and they want more extended support. So that's our Career Direction Clarity and Action Plan program. It's 3 months. We do the same thing of helping people get clarity and momentum, but because there's some kind of trouble spot going on with the client, we also have more time in that program to clean up the trouble spot, to really be supportive and compassionate with that so that then they can heal and move forward and then do the step of the clarity.
And then you have your 6 month Phoenix Rising program. That's for somebody that's really confused or what's that?
Yeah, so that program is our kind of top tier program, and it includes the one that I just spoke about kind of figuring out your career, and then it goes into other life areas. So it's for somebody who's saying, there's a lot going on here, and I want to take the time to invest in myself and really reinvent a number of aspects of my life. And it's just a more extended support to really, you know, make a decision. I'm going to make this year different and get a lot of help with it.
It's so important that to point out that career and life are so intricately related that you really can't have a very good life, and I certainly can speak from experience, if you're not enjoying your career, it kind of messes up everything else. And you're not probably going to have a good career if you aren't certain that where you want to go in life and you're not enjoying living.
Yes.
So I certainly see that relating. But how can you offer a free step-by-step career change ebook on your website? How do you obtain that? How could someone get hold of that?
Definitely. So if you go to cardicareercoaching.com/e-course, that's how you can find it. It's currently just on our homepage, but I think the e-course URL is going to be the best way to find it. And basically, this is a free resource that we offer where every week we send an email with an encouraging reminder of a helpful step that you can take and an explanation of why to take it. Hopefully you can tell from my voice, I'm not a drill sergeant. I'm very much like, let's give it a try. You know, you can do it. So it's kind of getting that voice in your inbox every week with a little reminder of something that you can do. And it really came out of my idea of being as helpful as possible as I can to people. There is obviously a difference between a self-study e-course and actually having a coach by your side guiding you through it. But for people who maybe coaching isn't the right fit or who want to just get a flavor of what we do, it's a wonderful support.
Well, that's great. So in conclusion, so many of us at mid-stage of our career just keep hanging in there. We hate Monday morning. We are pursuing that career that maybe once was satisfying but no longer is, or maybe it never was. And to the contrary, some of us bounce from one bad job to another without really asking what we want from our career and what we are willing to sacrifice to earn a financially comfortable living. And friends, please don't end your career or your life, for that matter, asking, what could I have been? Now is the time to ask yourself and answer these questions. Does your current job make sense for you? Is there a career out there that will pay you to have a good time? And will you have to accept less income, perhaps a lower standard of living, to gain a less stressful, more fulfilling work day? And are you willing to make that sacrifice? Will you sacrifice income for peace of mind? These are all the kind of questions that Allison Carty helps you to answer, and I would highly recommend that you go to her website. And what's that website again?
Yes, it is CardyCareerCoaching.com. Cardy is C-A-R-D-Y, CareerCoaching.com.
And I also highly recommend you preview her her book, Career. What's that title again?
Sure, it's a mouthful. It's Career Grease, How to Get Unstuck and Pivot Your Career.
And you can find that where I know it's on Amazon, and where else should people look to preview your book?
At the moment, it is just on Amazon.
Okay, but that's it's got very high reviews on there, and you can take a preview look at that, and I would highly recommend you do so. And thank you so much, Allison Carty. I think you've clarified for so much of us what we should be doing rather than just accepting life and a career that we really don't enjoy, because everyone was placed on earth with a purpose, and it's our... certainly our duty to find out, not duty, but responsibility to find out what we really want to be doing and how we can contribute the most to others by doing what we love to be doing. And thank you so much for joining us here today, and best of success in the sale of your new book and in coaching those clients in your coaching programs.
Thank you so much, Roy. It was an absolute pleasure, and I love chatting with you.
The feeling was mutual. It's been most enjoyable. Thanks a lot. Well, that was a most inspirational message from Allison Carty, but from here on, it's up to you. Are you ready to and able to launch your journey to a productive, prosperous, and joyful second half of your life and your career? You may recall last week that I suggested a 7-item pre-flight checklist. It's like you're taking off in a plane, you're taking off in your career for launching a new venture, searching for a job, or transitioning to a completely new career. And as of today, 1 week later, are you soaring high or are you still stuck on the tarmac? Whether presently in the air or on the ground, your most important challenge is to move forward. And I don't mean just willy-nilly. You may need to resolve one or more pre-flight checklist issues. They may still not be resolved, but please don't fall into the all-too-common trap that so many people fall into. We like to call paralysis of analysis. If you're 100% certain that you want positive career change, that you're really not satisfied with what you're doing now or where you're doing it. Moving forward is really your only choice. And if you're stuck on one or more pre-flight issues, ask for help. Consult with family members on a transition budget that all of you can buy into. You can all sacrifice for a short time in order to buy a better future. Speak with your boss about possible job enhancements right where you are. You know, we've talked about this a lot. A lot of times you may like what you're doing. You may like the company you work for, but you're just burned out and tired of the tasks you're performing right now, and you'd like to get back on track. Maybe you can do that right where you are. Ask trusted friends and relatives for advice. You know, a lot of them may see you doing something that you don't even realize you'd be good at or you'd like doing. If needed, hire a personal coach or a career counselor. And my guest today, Allison Carty, or one of her fellow Carty career coaching team coaches, would be a great choice. How about taking an aptitude test? You know, there are a number of those. Research potential employers, businesses for sale in your area, and top drawer internet or multi-level marketing opportunities. You know, not all of them are just talk. There are some great ones out there. And here's an idea. Why not stick your toe in the water? Launch a part-time shoestring business on evenings and weekends. Take a course or attend a seminar in the area you'd like to enter. See if you can network with some people in that field and find out whether you'd really enjoy doing it or not. And then you may, if it's a startup venture, you may want to seek out potential venture partners, people that could share the financing, also share the rewards, of course, but people that bring special expertise and could get the your idea rolling. You know, a red or yellow flashlight, a flashing checklist gauge dictates caution, but in no way instructs you to turn back or abandon your career transition. We all richly deserve the joyful and productive midlife career of our dreams. You know, we have the rest of our lives to live. Why not live it having fun at work and prospering, doing what we're really good at doing and what we really like to do? And, you know, we can help. Visit our website, middleagerenewal.com. Preview my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. Or better yet, call me at 515-221-9902. Or you can reach me by email, roy@middleagerenewal.com. Remember, I offer a free 30-minute introductory coaching session where we can get to know each other and see if we might move forward together. It would be a great opportunity just to get to know you. And that's a wrap for now on the subject of career transition. Please tune in next week when our guest will talk about taking on aging as a sport. It sounds like an interesting topic, doesn't it? We also will have a lady that writes about the bravery of during the horrible German atrocities of World War II and how the Jews survived and a few of them prospered following that awful event. Tune in next week when we'll talk again on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.